We Like Dota, episode 26, begins now. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to We Like Dota. This is We Like Dota, the internet's casual Dota 2 podcast. I'm Brian Sabone-Yinger, and joining me this evening is the internet's hermit and curmudgeon, Ben Yadneb Day.
Hi, Brian.
I'm sorry I kind of choked on your title there.
Well, that's okay.
Do you like that title, internet hermit and curmudgeon?
No, not particularly.
You don't? How would you describe yourself then?
I don't know. We can go with that for now. That's fine for now.
That's how I describe you as.
Perfect. Let's go with it then.
Internet hermit and curmudgeon.
Perfect.
We have a little addition to our microphone stands. We have mini plushies.
Yeah.
Because we are excited about the new crop of micro plushies.
Gotta love the plushies. So you have a faceless void.
Yes.
Yeah. I have a puck.
Yeah. Which of the two do you like better, Ben?
Faceless void, probably.
Okay.
Can I tell you a story about my faceless void plushie?
Let's hear it.
It fell off my desk, and my dog got a hold of it. And no joke, my dog just tore the pants off the faceless void plushie. So now my faceless void has no pants.
Pantsless void.
That's what we're gonna call him.
Perfect.
So a little disappointing.
Yeah, that is a little disappointing, but it's nice to know that the dogs love him.
They love his pants.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, Ben, we're gonna start off the podcast as we always do and talk about who'd you play. So we're gonna go ahead and start with you.
Yeah, I haven't played a whole lot this week. Been watching a lot, obviously, with TI going on,
right?
But did play some Medusa during community night, so that
yes,
was quite fun.
You and I laned against each other.
We did. And who won?
Well, your team won.
Who won the lane?
Neither.
I would say that we won the lane.
I would say that is wholly inaccurate.
Okay. Anyways, we won the game.
Why do you say that you won the lane?
I think we had more farm.
Ooh, I'm willing to go to bat against this.
We'll have to check.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe not. I could be wrong.
I'll give you... Okay. I'm willing to make this interesting. If I had more farm, if you had
in
more
the whole game?
No. By the 7 minute mark.
Have you watched the replay?
I have not.
Okay.
I pinky swear.
By 7 minutes?
By seven minutes.
I think I was figuring out last hitting still at that point.
Oh.
On Medusa. Oh.
Who won the lane then, Ben?
I did, because the laning phase in our game went about 12 minutes, I think.
It ended pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Well, I had to rotate because
our
bottom lane was...
Yeah, let's not bet on this one.
Our bottom lane was hemorrhaging quite a bit.
Yeah, you guys lost. That's yes. What matters.
Right. So who'd you play? Is that all you did then? You played the Medusa?
Well, and then I've got my old standbys, the Luna and the good old Viper that I like to play.
So. You're good for at least one win on Luna per day.
Not per day, but per week,
per
I would
week.
Say.
Yeah,
yeah, one per week.
Okay, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Well,
who'd you play, Brian? That's really what the audience
well,
wants
to know. Well, as I spoiled earlier, I laned a Dragon Knight against you.
You did? Poorly.
No, it was fine. I didn't die.
No,
in the lane.
We didn't kill you.
And I had a decent amount of farm.
Medusa takes too long to come online. That's the problem.
How long is that?
Too long. Out of the meta long, like...
Yeah.
You can't do it in the state of the game.
Yeah, that's you got to look out for that. That's for sure. And okay, so I played Dragon Knight. I was trying to catch up a bit on that crazy 10 hero or like the favorite.
Are you still trying to finish that up?
No, that's done. I was doing, you know how you can check like your favorite hero and they give you like that tool for analyzing how you do on that hero. I checked Mirana, and if you get 10 wins on Mirana, you get like compendium points or something, which doesn't really matter now.
I'm kind of over it. Are you over it?
Yeah, I'm over it. Well, I'm not over that battle bonus, though.
I like the battle bonus.
So I've been getting some extra items from that and playing actually quite a bit of Mirana.
Okay.
And because of that, my Mirana win rate has been going down.
Because you're playing her more?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Well, it was like a 70% win rate on the...
Oh, so you only had... I mean, going down was what was going to happen
like,
at that point.
Oh, yeah. I had like 5 or 6 wins on her or something like that.
Okay.
Or 5 or 6 plays.
Right.
So... Yeah, and she's tough, like especially in all pick, because you can't really, because everyone just picks her a hero at the last moment. So it's kind
of... Everybody's waiting to see what everybody else is going to do.
Yeah.
So that they think that they're good enough to counterpick whatever happens, but they're still probably just going to pick the hero they're going to pick the first
exactly.
point anyways. So.
Yeah. And Morana's tough because she needs somebody who has, like, a reliable stun.
Right.
You can't pick her as your reliable stun.
Yeah, I think just maybe at our skill level you can, but it's borderline. Just
yeah.
It's really hard to land. If you got really good at her and you're playing people who are about as good as we are, you might be able to.
Even then, it's risky.
It
to
is.
To me, it's like picking Pudge saying, oh, this... It's like picking support Pudge.
Right.
You know?
Okay. That's fair enough.
Yeah, so I played that. What else did I play, Ben?
Well, what did you play last night? I know you played some games last night.
I played some Vengeful Spirit.
Oh, nice.
Been I having like a good time with the Vengeful Spirit. And then I played Observer and Broadcaster.
How did that go?
Swimmingly.
Did you feed?
Of course I fed. You okay. always feed as the Observer.
You usually do.
And there is... Well, speaking of community night, we had community night last
Segway.
Night.
Segway, sure. Go for
it. We're recording on a Thursday, which is abnormal for us.
Mm-hmm.
But we had community night last night, and Ben, something bizarre
happened. tell me what happened. You gave me a little bit of a summary of what happened, but it sounded like, so I played the first match and then I'm old and I go to bed and I, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
but it sounded like you played at least one more match after I left. Is that correct?
I played three more matches after
wow
left.
Okay, so of those three matches, what match are we referring to then? When did this happen?
It's one match. It was the third match of the evening. So
it was the last match of the evening?
No.
The third match total of the evening.
Yes.
So the match right after I left.
It would have been two matches after you left.
Okay, that's fine.
And Ben, I'm still trying to figure out what exactly happened, but I can only describe it as bizarre. Somehow, people from the Reddit Dota 2 League wound up in our lobby.
In the We Like Dota lobby.
In the We Like Dota lobby. And
interesting.
I'm gonna go ahead and just take full responsibility for this right off the bat, because I did not put a password on the lobby.
Yeah, I plan to blame you for this, so that works well.
Yeah, that makes sense. You should blame me for this.
You are blamed.
So anyone who is a part of those bizarre matches, first of all, I want to extend an apology to you. I think it was some of the guys from Crusade. I saw P-Frog and Beakless Beaker and Guy, and who else did I see? Snack. You've played a couple matches with Snack. That guy's good.
I like that guy.
Yeah, Snack's great. And yeah, it was just one guy in particular from the Reddit Dota 2 League that was just an absolute a jerk.
Okay.
He was just an absolute jerk. And he was flaunting about how bad we are and everything.
Which we're all pretty bad.
Yeah, we're all pretty bad. I don't think he understood what was going on. I think he assumed that we were from Reddit.
Ah, okay.
And Reddit is... Don't get me wrong, we exist on Reddit.
Well, and tell me, because I'm not somebody who uses Reddit. So give maybe a summary of what it is that Reddit is. How would you describe Reddit?
I think it was either Beakless Beaker or P-Frog who nailed it. He said it's everything that's good and bad about the internet in one place.
Okay, that makes sense.
So
it's just like a condensed version of the internet.
It's either the butthole of the internet or just whatever the opposite of a butthole is. Cats playing pianos.
Right.
Exactly. So I would say our little community on Reddit. That's great. I think that's the good part of
great.
The internet.
We're cats playing pianos.
But the Dota 2 subreddit gets to be a bit of a black hole of negativity and hate.
Okay.
And that kind of came out a little bit, Ben.
Wow. Okay. So how did you guys all handle that?
We just played the match out, and the guy that was a jerk wound up leaving at some point. And
did he leave during the match?
Yeah, he was actually set up as an observer for some reason.
So he was actually just watching and taunting people.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah. And
was he maybe just trying to cast the match and you got had a misunderstanding there?
He was not at all.
Are you sure it's not just creative casting?
He literally said, I like to watch these matches before I go to bed and see everyone F up. That's literally what he said.
Yeah, it could be an artistic statement, but go ahead.
Sure. But anyway, after he left, some of the other Redditors were quite nice and apologetic. And once they figured out that there was some sort of mix-up, they... I think we played the match out quite quickly, and some were even kind of went into teaching mode once they figured out what was going on, I believe. So
Okay, so recommend.
That was strange.
Yeah, so recommend or don't recommend?
Do not recommend.
Okay.
So, yeah, well, I saw people I didn't recognize in the lobby, but I thought they were just, like, guildies that had been invited, and I just didn't know who they were. So.
Okay.
Long story short, TLDR, use passwords.
What's TLDR?
Too long, didn't read.
Oh, okay.
Do you ever see that?
I've seen that spelled out, but I've never seen the...
Yeah.
I'm old, Brian.
You are old. And that's okay. So that happened, and if anybody listening is from the Reddit Dota 2 League, what the crap's going on over there?
Well, it sounds like they were very helpful for the most part, right? They just needed to kick the one guy out.
Except for crushing our spirits.
Well, maybe they tear down to build you back up.
Yeah,
like maybe it was all strategic, like right? So he just sits there, he bashes you guys for a while, you're really distraught, and then he leaves, and the rest of the community just comes in there, and they just repair what's been torn apart.
That sounds nice.
I think so. That's how I'd like to see it that
okay,
way.
Good.
So thank you, Reddit.
Thank you, Reddit. Yeah. Okay, moving on. So as we talked about earlier, TI4 happened.
It was a big deal.
It was a big deal. And I feel like there has been such a huge change in the internet's impression of TI4 compared to the last episode of We Like Dota and this episode of We Like Dota.
The before and after.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. It's been night and day.
Because we recorded during the group stage.
We did.
And I really liked the group stage.
There was, I think at that point, you would describe it as a lot of excitement,
mm-hmm.
a lot of hype, a lot of anticipation for the main event, a lot of really good Dota being played. I think people just kept saying, this is really good Dota that we're seeing.
That was a lot of what everybody was saying.
And that was what I was feeling during that phase, too.
Yeah, so then the main event happened, and... it was kind of fine for a while, and then once, I think it was around like the end of Saturday going into like Sunday and Monday, the internet got really upset.
They got kind of mad,
yeah. Kind of jaded. And first of all, I couldn't understand why everyone was so...
I think it all came to a head on Monday, too. I mean, when it was all over, it was like, yeah.
I think there's a couple of different issues going on here that are just making one big, giant crap tornado.
Okay.
And...
Issues on Valve's end or issues from the community's end and the people reacting?
Both.
Okay.
I think, first of all, it never ceases to amaze me how... A community, and I'm not singling out gamers. This happens in any community of people who love the thing that they are, you know, whatever hobby they're attached to. It just never ceases to blow me away how much a community can crap on the thing that they love.
And I think we see that with the Super Bowl. We see that with any type of sports playoffs. Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, anything, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's not unique to the Dota 2 scene, whatever. But yeah. So Ben, we're kind of gonna do your thoughts and then my thoughts, and
so that happened.
We'll just have some talking.
People were happy. People got mad.
Yeah,
and let's talk about why.
Yeah, what were your thoughts of what's going on, or even just the whole event in general, Ben?
You know, the group phase was great.
Yeah,
I thought, you know, the build up to TI was great. The compendium was fantastic. Stretch goals were great. I think we talked about when the format was released, we talked about there might be some issues with the format. And I think that was the case in a lot of ways. I think you had your best teams sitting aside for quite a while, not playing. Like, Newbie didn't play for about 3 days.
Yeah.
I think that was a problem. I think Valve's gotten some crap for the finals not maybe being exciting. I don't think that's Valve's fault that those two teams were there. I think the two teams... I think the format had some issues, but I still think, you know, you can't really rig things to have certain teams there. The fact that the teams didn't have storylines or were not compelling, at least to a Western audience, and that's not Valve's fault.
Right.
I think they could have helped that if the format, and you and I have talked about this quite a bit, I'd like to see those final two teams. I want to see them playing every day up until that final. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you do a more traditional bracket like you see in the NCAA or something, but...
Well, even with that... And don't get me wrong, I don't know tournament formats very well.
Sure.
But wouldn't Newbie have been like seeded pretty far into the bracket anyway? Like, wouldn't they have not been playing for a couple days anyway?
Like, if you're watching the NCAA tournament, you might get a bye on the first round.
Okay.
If you're watching like a traditional sports tournament, but you're gonna play, so you'll see, you know, the top four teams all play the day before the finals, for example. The top eight teams play the day before that. Okay. So newbie's going to be a part of that top eight, a part of that top four, and then a part of the top two when it's all said and done.
Okay.
So the fact that they sat there for 3 days, I think that it kills the chance to build a storyline.
Yeah.
I think you get those Cinderella stories that are kind of neat when you see maybe a 16 seed team take out a number one seed team, for example. I think the TI could have really benefited from that instead of having like the losers bracket and the winners bracket.
I understand it.
I get why they wanted to reward people with that, but I just don't know if it makes for a compelling event to watch as much.
Well, I think in TI3 there was still a winners and a losers bracket, but I don't think you had people starting out in the losers bracket.
I don't think anybody sat around for so long either, did they?
Well, I think what happened. No. Well, first of all, you had all 16 teams going into the main event.
Sure.
But I think what happened is...
Maybe that's what I want.
Yeah, I think I do too. And I think having an arena just complicates that because you can't be in there for a whole week. But yeah. I think what they did last year is whoever ranked higher during the group stage, I think the only thing that you got to do is you got to choose what team you played first.
Okay.
I think is how that worked. So I think I'd really like to see that come back.
I think they need to rework it. Hopefully they come up with something better. I think, Valve probably would have preferred to have Alliance or Na'Vi or even EG in that tournament or DK even in that tournament. There were a lot of storylines. And I think just the way it all played out, it just felt like the event just fizzled out. It started off really exciting. And then by the time we had the final two teams, it fizzled out. But I don't think they have total control over that, but I think the format was a contributing factor to that. But I think, the venue was really good. I think, again, the group stage had some really compelling games in it.
Yeah.
LGD was fun to watch as they had some upsets.
Yeah, they had a pretty good ride.
They did.
They came out beating Liquid in the bubble race stage.
Sure.
And then they came in like fifth, sixth, I think, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think overall, I would give the event like a B. Like, I think they were right there. It was a solid event. Things didn't necessarily, the things that were outside of their control maybe didn't go the way that would have gotten them to that A point, if they had some different teams in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think you can really knock them too much for that. I don't think that's Valve's fault. They had some audio issues. The ESPN thing was pretty neat. It was neat to see that they had some ESPN coverage there. I thought that was neat. I don't know if it was utilized in the right way necessarily, but
I'm not entirely convinced that I think it's cool that Dota is on ESPN, but I'm still a little confused and I'm not even sure why it's on ESPN, to be honest with you.
Well, I think the thing that I think is exciting about that is ESPN is essentially acknowledging that Dota is a thing. I think that's the big deal there.
Yeah.
I think they could have done something to differentiate that experience versus the other experience, because you can already get the games everywhere else. They did a 30-minute special. I couldn't figure out who the special was for. If it was for people who were fans of the game.
That sounds about right.
If it was introductory.
Mm-hmm.
It was a thing. It was neat to see, I guess, Gabe got interviewed. That was kind of cool.
Lord Gaben.
There were some audio issues there.
Big surprise.
And that thing as well.
Yeah.
I guess I just couldn't figure out who's the target. And maybe they don't know. Who's the target audience for that special?
Yeah.
Are you trying to capture the people who watch ESPN? Are you trying to capture the people who watch Dota?
I saw somebody who mashed up tweets about people angry about soccer and Dota 2.
Okay.
And people who watch ESPN apparently hate both. So
probably. Yeah, anything that's not traditional. I mean, it wasn't on the main ESPN network. It was on... The special was on ESPN2.
And I don't think it needs to be.
I don't think it's there
I don't
yet.
Think...
I don't really know if you even want to put it in that. I think it's its own thing.
Yeah, because the people who are interested in Dota 2 and interested in esports, quite frankly, are already watching it.
Yeah, I don't know if it captured that new audience, but I think it's neat that they acknowledged it. And maybe it did. Maybe it did capture a new audience. But
yeah, it very well could have.
I don't think the content they put out there...
Mm-hmm.
was geared that way. They didn't put the noob stream on. Again, that special just seemed really unclear. It didn't seem like an introduction to Dota.
Yeah.
Like it could have been. So I think maybe a missed opportunity there, but still neat that ESPN was a part of that. So I think overall it was a B. It was not the best TI. But I think that they, in a lot of ways, did a lot of things right. There were just some problems there they need to work on for next year.
Okay.
How about you? What do you have for us, Brian?
Well, Ben, I decided to do a good old pro-con list.
Okay.
And to ring that in, I've got a special bumper.
Got your pros and cons here.
That is entirely obnoxious, with the exception of hearing friend of the show's Jeff White's voice.
Yes.
That was great.
Yes.
But the quacking, I don't know.
That's a Brian Yinger original bumper, Ben.
Yeah. Well, start
it actually over. Comes from Sesame Street. I found a clip of Sesame Street with duck Muppets quacking.
Yeah, you probably want to question your life choices at this point, but go ahead with your pros and cons.
My life is fantastic.
Okay.
Okay, pros. Female cosplayers.
Okay.
Some of it got a little weird, though.
Yeah. The person who was dressed up like Lich, that was actually not Lich, was weird.
Right. I'm sure Toby loved the female cosplayers.
Is he kind of pervy?
He's kind of pervy in that you can always count on him to post female cosplay on his Facebook thing.
Okay.
It's a little strange sometimes.
Well, there you go. What else you got for us?
$10.9 million prize pool, largest esports event yet.
Yeah, that's a pro.
Pro. The Secret Shop. Lots of really cool items there.
We didn't have access to any of that. Why is that a pro?
I looked through the catalog and it was cool.
It was a cool catalog. I think you could pro the catalog.
We'll be able to buy stuff, though.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The analyst panel was good. Had some character and everything, which is good. Wasn't as dry as some sports analyst panels can be sometimes.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Match commentary was good.
It was inconsistent, but mostly good.
What do you mean by inconsistent?
The Noobcast, I think, was inconsistent.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I did like the Noobcast, though.
I really liked Pyrian Flax. I really liked his stuff. That was great.
And I liked when Purge was on as well.
I don't know if I heard Purge at all.
Yeah.
Maybe I did.
It took them a little while to... I think it took them a little... They had a little bit of a ramp-up period, I think, to figure out what was going on there.
Toby Wan is great.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see AC a little bit more.
I do like AC.
Yeah.
I wish he was on a little bit more.
But overall, yeah, it was good.
Yeah. The videos played in between the matches were really good.
Yeah.
Those things were exceptionally well made.
There was some well-produced stuff there.
Especially with James did the voiceover for all of them.
Yeah, Cinderin, right?
No. Who's James? Too Good, James, who was hosting the panel.
Yeah.
Sounds like Snape.
Yep.
Yeah. Cinderin's a different guy.
I mean, I got confused for a second. You're fine.
And the early group stage / early main event matches were really great.
They were pretty fantastic.
Really fun to watch. And now we get to the cons list, Ben.
Oh, those are all pros.
Those were all pros.
Wow. Okay, a lot of pros. A
lot of pros, Ben.
Okay, what do you got for us for cons?
Cons. EG got placed in the top three really early, and Western teams were knocked out pretty early, which led to many Western fans losing interest. DK aside, because I feel like most Western people like DK. So that kind of led to people losing interest, and we saw large swaths of time without, you know, EG playing.
It's almost as if the Western audience lost interest.
It's almost as if the Western audience lost interest, Ben.
Right.
I can't imagine that happening.
That seems like a con.
It is a con.
Right.
Yeah. Some production issues here and there took away from the overall polish.
Agree.
And this happened the entire event, Ben. I have no idea what was going on.
But I thought that they would get their crap together, but they just really didn't.
They did not.
Granted, I listened through my tablet, but that interview with Gabe on ESPN2, it sounded like people were like vacuuming behind them the entire time. It was pretty awful.
I didn't see that because I'm a poor person who doesn't have cable.
Right.
I'm not blessed with the cable like you are. But yeah, even like the analysts in the commentary desk, like there was feedback all the time.
It was pretty bad.
Quite often.
Yeah.
And I don't know what was going on, but it was driving Jared and I nuts. And we figured they'd have that sorted out after day one, but nope, it was a thing throughout the entire event.
Here's a question. Do you think they outsource the audio for that? Or do you think they actually have their own people that do that?
I think
did they hire somebody to do that?
I think it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
I think for audio, they probably do outsource it. Because like I know for like the analysts and the commentators and stats and stuff, and even like the people who are doing observing for the matches, those are all people that we know. But like, I think probably
who's running the board, I guess.
Yeah, I think they're probably outsourcing that stuff.
Okay. I would assume so too with a big event like that. But maybe there's how many groups are specialized in e-sporting events like that. You know, I don't know if there's
it doesn't need to be specialized.
I understand,
though, you know?
I understand.
The only thing that's different,
but how do you hire somebody who you know is going to do that well?
Oh, there's entire companies that do this sort of stuff. There's like entire
I know there are, but how do you know which company to go with?
Well,
for the big esports event, you know what I'm saying?
That's why you just hire We Like Dota to do all this.
Well, we would have been fine, but
the only difference is that it's going out an internet connection instead of, you know, out to cable or whatever.
I understand it's not hard, but I don't know. I think it's a somewhat unique event, so maybe they just didn't know who to hire and they just chose poorly.
But like hockey, how does hockey do it? It's like almost the exact same setup. You still have a commentator that's through the entire arena.
But they have, I mean, they've got their, I don't know. Maybe it's just because it's a new establishment in a way.
There's companies that this is what they do.
They do?
Yeah.
Maybe they got stuck into...
I think they just hired the wrong company.
Well, they did. I think they just made the wrong decision if that's what they did.
Yeah. There was another con, Ben. There were some stream issues. I had multiple times where the stream went down.
Well, and I was watching the noob stream a lot of times when that happened to you. Just out of curiosity, I was kind of interested in what they were doing with that. And I know you sent me a message a number of times that the stream had gone out.
Did it say picnic? Did I say picnic?
No.
No, okay.
Were you supposed to say picnic?
That's what Twitch chat says when the stream goes down. They say picnic.
I gotcha. That's okay. Great. I watched in-game a lot on my TV. That was really nice because I have a computer hooked up to my TV.
Mm, yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
That's really nice. That's what we did Saturday when we did our couch stream.
It was a pro.
That was a fun time, by the way.
What other cons do you have? Let's stick forever.
Ben, you are why are you always such a stick in the mud, Ben?
I don't know.
We're doing just fine on time.
Okay.
Just hang with me here, Ben. And also, I'm going to call you out here.
Okay.
You only get frustrated when it's me talking, not you.
I do. Oh, it's true.
Okay, next con. Matches started to get boring and fizzle out as we saw nothing but Vici Gaming domination for 1.5 days.
True.
Props to those guys, though, because it was impressive.
Yeah, again, it's not their fault that they played well. I mean, good for them.
Exactly. Yeah. It's impressive how they had this push strategy figured out that was totally... It was almost perfect up until Newbie figured out how to stop him.
So Newbie did figure out how to stop him. Does this strategy get nerfed, or do they just kind of, does Valve just assume the meta will adjust? What do you think?
I don't think you need to have a balance change based around Vici.
No, that's what I guess that's my question.
Yeah, I think it's just that I don't think it's necessarily that they were really good at pushing. I think it's more that their execution of it. They made zero mistakes.
You can counter
during a lot
it.
Of games.
It's very, you know, you think it's obviously it's been countered.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't think it's a balance change is on our way for early game pushing?
No. Okay. I think it was Vici Gaming, honestly, really able to capitalize.
Playing out of their minds.
Yeah. Really able to capitalize on other people's mistakes.
Okay.
And people can call me out on that if I'm wrong, but.
They probably will.
I'm not wrong, though.
You might be wrong.
Okay. Next con. Finals on a Monday.
Yeah, awful. At noon. Or no, it ended up being about 1:30.
Yeah. That's awful. Ugh. I understand that there's really only one ideal time across the world.
But this is America, Brian.
I know. We're America and we're the only ones that matter.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding. That's not true at all. We actually have a decent number of listeners in Southeast Asia, Ben.
I know we do. That's great.
I do like that a lot. So shout out to Malaysia and Titan. Did pretty well.
We like diversity.
Yeah.
But I think a Monday is probably bad universally, I would think, right? Unless...
Yeah. Jared and I were talking, and we wish they could have just adjusted the schedule to be a day earlier.
Yeah.
So...
There was a lot.
Have the main event start on Thursday.
Yeah, they could have just cut anything, right? Cut anything.
I think they need to cut that stupid bubble race thing out.
Yeah, I agree.
Go ahead.
What
I wasn't a big fan of that. And also the times, just the times in general really sucked too, but it was nice for Europe because things were starting around 6 o'clock for them. Yeah. But you know,
it's an international event. You're going to have a weird time for these things. I think that's okay.
And my next con is I wish the VODs were on YouTube.
The VODs, VOD situation was pretty bad.
Pretty bad. It's pretty hard. Like if you're trying to watch on a tablet or a Chromecast or anything like that. YouTube's the way to go.
I also couldn't get the Noobcast to work on VODs for some reason. It was kind of weird.
Hmm.
So I don't know.
Yeah, that is strange.
I think you had to watch like the entire Noobcast and then try to get to the match you wanted or something. It was awful. Oh.
But you can watch the VODs in the game.
Well, I understand this.
But I wanted to watch them on my TV.
Well, I wanted to watch them on my tablet, and it's just not... It was just bad.
It doesn't work.
It just was not very good.
Yeah. Okay, so overall impressions. Stop whining. TI4 was great. Everything in the world has issues.
You had about 12 more cons than you had pros, right?
I did, but I'm being very nitpicky.
Okay.
Overall, I'm with you. I think the event was like a B+.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
I loved it, and I can't wait for TI5.
Yeah, I'm excited for TI5.
So congratulations to Newbie. They won a crap ton of money.
Yeah.
And they're very good.
What can the European and the North American scene do to catch up next year? Are they just out of it?
I don't know. I think
like what happened to Alliance? I mean, are they ever going to be back? Na'Vi?
Well, I think the other teams just got really good. I think that's what happened. Yeah. And
I mean, DK's half of them are leaving, right?
Yeah, yeah. Half of the Chinese teams, the second they don't get first, they all just disband and form new teams.
Well, I think DK's situation is a little different than that.
Well, they have a lot more older guys.
Yeah, they've got guys retiring, but yeah, I just wonder if they're going to be able to catch up, what you're going to have happening there.
So. Yeah, I think so. I think just what happened this year, it's just the Chinese teams were really good, and that's it.
Which is great. Yeah.
Last year, the Western teams were better, so.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we just have a different...
Yeah.
Yeah, different flow to things.
Yep. So, as far as getting better, I have no idea. I'm not a pro gamer. Okay, Ben, let's talk about the hero of the week.
Who do you have for us?
The hero of the week is... Shadow Shaman.
Which they call Rasta, right? Is that what they call him?
Rasta, yes.
Rasta.
Which that's his official name and also his name from Dota 1.
Right.
But the thing that's interesting is from what I've read in his bio, he seems to have more Middle Eastern influences than kind of like Caribbean Jamaican influences.
He has a bio.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
You should read it. It's interesting. I like to read all the bios. I like the lore. It's fun.
I have no idea what's going on in this game.
Yeah.
Why are people fighting?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But there's like background stories for everyone.
Right.
I would like to know why.
Why are they all there?
Why is everyone fighting?
Why is everybody in this magical forest trying to kill each other? I don't understand.
That's a good question. Those poor creeps. Where do they come from?
Who are they and what did they do?
Yeah.
Can you figure that out for the next show?
I think I will, Ben.
Yeah. I want to know what's actually happening.
Yeah. That's a good question.
And what are ancients? Why are we defending them?
Power, Ben. Power.
Okay. We'll just figure it out.
Yeah. I will. Okay. Shadow Shaman. So we're going to talk about his role / how you lane him, his skills, what items you want to go, and then whether he's a recommendation or not.
So he's a support.
He is a support. Specifically, he kind of fits that kind of pusher / disabler role.
He does a little bit of both.
Yeah. He does a little bit of both. He does both, I would argue, really well.
I think, yeah. I mean, he has two pretty good disables.
Mm-hmm.
One doesn't let him attack, which is a downer, but yeah, two great, you know, pretty good disables, and then he's got the great pushing ability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to look him up on my tablet here real quick, and we're going to talk about him.
Okay.
We're going to talk about his skills.
We're already talking about him.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he fits the support and kind of the push / disable.
So start with Aethershock or either
what,
shock.
What lane do you think you want to typically run Shadow Shaman and Ben?
I mean, he's a support, so I think it can vary a little bit if you're doing a tri lane or if you're doing
I agree.
I would think you can put him in the safe lane. He can roam a little bit.
Yeah.
Push a little bit, but where would you want him? Do you have a preference?
I don't. At first I was like, well, you don't want to put him mid, but I think if you're up against the wall, you could put him mid. Yeah,
You get the levels early, so you get that earlier push a little bit.
Yeah,
but
don't get me wrong, you don't want him mid.
I don't think you'd put him mid. I think though
you could do worse though.
I think you can even put him off lane because he could always hex him mm-hmm. his way out of trouble in a lot of ways. But I would think he's probably primarily a safe lane support.
He also fits the roaming support mm-hmm. role pretty well.
Yep, he can help you gank with mm-hmm. those crowd control abilities.
Yeah. Okay, so his skills, his Q is Aether Shock, creates a cone of ethereal energy that strikes multiple enemy units. So this does
320 at max, I think.
Right? Yeah, this does 140, 200, 260, and 320 damage.
And it can spread out to 7 heroes? Is that right?
Yeah. So depending on the level, it's either 1, 3, 5, or 7 targets.
So that's a decent amount of damage to a decent amount of people.
320 damage to 7 people? That's a lot.
It's about an average nuke, but the fact that it spreads, I think. What's the cooldown on that?
The cooldown is 8 seconds.
Okay.
Oh, that's really good.
What's the mana cost?
Mana cost is 95, 105, 135, and 160.
Okay. I don't think that's a bad ability.
Yeah.
I don't think it's mind-blowing, but it's not bad.
It's really good for clearing creep waves.
Sure.
It's exceptional for clearing creep waves, I would say.
I think it adds to his push ability a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, his W is Hex. Transforms an enemy unit into a harmless creature, disabling their attacks and abilities. And if you have just plain old vanilla Shadow Shaman without any items, it's a chicken. But if you have the new Shadow Shaman Immortal weapon, Lamb to the Slaughter, it turns him into a lamb, which is
very
really
nice.
Cool.
I think I actually have that item.
Do you?
I might.
Wow. Look at you, Ben.
Fancy.
So the mana cost for this is 110, 140, 170, and 200. Cooldown is 13 seconds. And
it's a decent cooldown. That's not too bad.
Yeah. The thing that matters is the duration, which is 1.25, 2, 2.75, and 3.5. So it's scaling by 0.75 seconds.
So you get 3.5 seconds to shoot the sheep, right?
That's a long time. Yeah. That's really nice. Okay, his E is Shackles. It's channeled, so that means you can't do anything while you're channeling it, and also you can get stunned or interrupted during it.
Sure.
So this magically binds an enemy unit so that it cannot move or attack while dealing damage over time. The damage is 40 per tick, and it lasts for 2.75, 3.5, 4.25, or 5 seconds. So at max level, at max channel duration, you're doing 200 damage.
Good
which,
math, Brian. I'm proud of you.
I know. I'm usually pretty bad at math.
I was a little like, what's going to happen here? I'm going to let you do the math. Just kind of waiting it out.
Plus one for Brian.
Good job. Good job.
So that's not a fantastic amount of damage, but if you have somebody else with you...
It's not a damage ability, I don't think, really. I mean, it's there to hold somebody. He's so bizarre in that he has both of those abilities. I mean, both the Hex and that, the Shackles. It's really strange to me that he has both.
You think so? Because I
think it's cool.
I love when I have a Shadow Shaman with me as a Morana, because if they cast Shackles, I can throw the arrow...
Well, I think it's great. It's just I can't think of another hero that has two disables like that. There probably are some.
Yeah, like Lion has his Hex as well, and he has the
Earth
Spike.
And he has the stun. Yeah. It's just interesting how you could really hold somebody in place for a long time.
Yeah, they're just, you use them for different reasons, I guess. Usually you'd want to use the Hex.
I wouldn't say they're redundant. They're just different.
Yeah, I would agree. Okay, and then his R is his ultimate, his Mass Serpent Ward. Summons 10 Serpent Wards to attack enemy units and structures. The wards are immune to magic and have a small area of splash damage that increases per level, upgradable by Ag Scepter.
That's kind of his signature ability.
It is. The attack damage is 45, 60, and 75. Lasts for 45 seconds.
What's the attack damage with the Ags, though? Do you have that on there? I think it's 130.
At max level, it's 130.
Which is a lot.
That's a lot of damage. And I think it also
melts towers without this scepter.
And it also increases the splash damage, I believe, as well.
Oh, that's great.
I don't have that on here, but I believe that is accurate. I'm not sure if it is or not, but I think it is.
I'm not going to even comment on that.
So that's pretty good. So, yeah, I feel like Shadow Shaman just brings so much to the table. Because if you're having a team fight by a tower and you win a team fight, you can pretty much guarantee that tower is gone with the Mass Serpent wards.
Yeah, it's really hard to defend against because they do a lot of damage, and there's 10 of them, right?
Yeah. I was playing a couple weeks ago. This is going to blow your mind, Ben. I was playing a carry. I was playing Luna.
Wow.
And I see a lone Shadow Shaman wandering around, and I'm like, oh, this guy's food.
Did you get Serpent Ward trapped?
Let me tell you, Ben. Yeah. I got... What happened first? I got Serpent Ward trapped.
Okay.
Hexed.
Yeah.
And then shackled.
So you just were stuck in there and dead.
Well, it's even better because it all happened underneath an enemy tower. So I'm taking Serpent Ward hits, I'm taking tower hits, and I just got blown
up. So not
a
squishy, easy target that you thought it was then.
He's squishy and an easy target, but if you're like one-on-one,
you got to be careful.
Look out, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now I know.
Now you know.
I know.
Yeah.
Now I know. And that's kind of what you can do. You know, if you're roaming as a Shadow Shaman, you can roam around and use your disables to help out, set up ganks and all that stuff. You can push with the Mass Serpent Wards and the Aether Shock. And, yeah, I don't know. And you can do the... Can you explain the ward trapping a little bit, Ben?
I'm not any good at that. I don't know. I mean, you can essentially get people stuck in those wards so that they have to kill a ward to get out of there.
Yeah, you can kind of...
Think maybe Nature's Prophet ability, kind of, but with wards that attack you, I guess, is maybe a way to describe it.
You can kind of set it up so that the serpent wards form around a person, right, so that they're stuck in when they have to kill them to get out.
It's just a pain, yeah. You can also do it to your own team if you want to,
for the lulz,
be that guy.
Of course.
So it's interesting.
Yeah.
I can't think of a valid reason to do it to your own team. Maybe to protect them, I guess.
Maybe, but sometimes that can be more of a hindrance.
Yeah, I can't imagine your teammates will be thrilled with that. So,
okay, Ben, let's talk about items.
Yeah.
So items on him.
Courier, wards.
Of course, courier and wards.
I would say mana boots.
Mana boots, yep. You want to... I think starting with tangos and clarities, and then iron branches are good if you have enough money.
I would say the ags is very appealing with that extra damage.
The ag scepter is really good if you're getting enough farm. Definitely don't give up buying, you know, wards and dust and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But if you have enough farm and you're in a good spot, definitely buy that ags. It's really going to help your push out.
And I would
lot.
Say in some strategies, maybe you do have another support, get all that stuff. If that's really what you're looking to do.
Yeah.
And you can get the refresher on him if you got really out of control. And then
I played a match last night with Last Talon, and Last Talon was playing Shadow Shaman, and I was kind of playing more of the hard support, Vengeful Spirit, and he was able to get up an Ag Scepter, and I think he even got a Refresher Orb as well.
That's out of control, yeah.
So we won that match.
Bye-bye Towers, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, and I had a Deso on Vengeful Spirit, which was kind of awesome.
You guys had a lot of farm.
So the Towers went down really quick.
Right.
But yeah, as I said earlier, the Refresher Orb is really good, so you can get two Mass Serpent Wards up or two different spots, or, you know, you can just use it quicker.
Yeah, I think you could do a Blink or a Force Staff if you're really looking for a team fight and you want to get in there and get the Hex down.
Yeah, the Blink Dagger is a pretty good pickup because, you know, as Ben said, you can just blink in and get off a good Shackles or Hex.
Definitely.
Bloodstone is also a really good pickup to help with the mana issues.
Yeah.
And also a Shiva's Guard is a good pickup as well, to kind of help you kind of tank up a little bit. You get some.
Yeah, I think you could do a Shiva's or BKB if you need
it. It's not necessarily ideal, but it does help with the disable a little bit. And of course, a Necro Book is always
a good
pickup.
Necro Book would be good for the push. Yeah. You can do a Mechanism if you want.
Especially
because
you can Hex, pop your Necro Book, do the Shackles, and then have the Necro units and the wards attacking.
Yeah, that's next level. That's great.
That's right, baby. Strats, Ben.
Strategy.
Yes. Okay, Ben, so what's our final verdict on Shadow Shaman here?
I would say recommend. I think he's definitely one that can fit into a lot of lineups.
Yep, I give it one of these.
Yeah, these are definitely a buy.
Oh, great.
I give it a buy, Ben.
Okay, that's two.
I know, I'm doing great.
Yeah, not too bad.
Okay, Ben, item of the week.
We have an item, too.
Item of the week.
That hero part was draining. Do we really have enough energy for an item?
We do, Ben.
Okay.
We absolutely
What's the item?
The item of the week is Pipe of Insight.
Oh, what's that do?
That's a good question. It gives you +8 HP regen and +30% spell resist, and it gives you an aura of +4 HP regen. So on you personally, you're getting +12 HP regen out of this.
Okay.
And it also gives you an active ability called Barrier that blocks 400 incoming magic damage.
So that's really why you want this item.
That's really nice.
So that would block for your entire team, would block Shadow Shaman's, Aethershock. The Aethershock, yeah.
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 Especially because that thing like chains around and everything, and that's really nice.
So you could do that I was looking, a lot of the nukes are under that 400 damage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was looking at like...
So it's a pretty big deal.
Like Lina's nukes that I think like her max level Laguna Blade is like... I think it's like 500 damage or something like that. But her Dragon Slave at max level does... It's somewhere between 200 and 300 damage. I think it's like 250 or something.
I don't think it's a good enough item to prevent... I don't think it's so good that none of your team has to buy a BKB. Like, I don't think it's there.
Yeah.
Do you? I mean, I don't think it's at that point. depending on the lineup you're playing against.
Yeah, no, I don't think so, because it doesn't give you magic immunity.
Right.
So you're still going to get stunned and stuff like that, but I think it's a good pickup if the other team is very heavy on magic damage.
Yeah.
And I can confirm that Lina's damage for Laguna Blade is 450, 675, and 950.
So you're blocking half of it at max level.
Yeah, but she but still, also, that's like the strongest like single target nuke in the game.
The biggest, if not the biggest.
Yeah. So I think it's a pretty good pickup. It's a
lineup-based item. Mm-hmm. You don't build it every time. You build it based on who you're playing against.
And you build it from a headdress, is it a veil? Hood of Defiance.
Is it like 1,800, 2,100 gold? It's not too expensive.
No, it's 3,625.
Oh, I'm way off. Okay. Yeah. That's pretty expensive. You wouldn't want to build it in a game where you don't need it.
You could say that literally about every single item, Ben.
Right. Not necessarily. I mean, but some items I think fit into most of what you, I mean, you.
Yeah, like a mech.
It's never bad to buy a Desolator, right? Or a mech.
It's bad to buy a Desolator if you already have a unique attack modifier.
Correct. But still, you know what I'm saying.
Like, I know what you're saying.
A mech's a good example. A mech's never a bad choice. A mech's always going to come in handy.
I think it's an underutilized item, though.
Okay. Fair enough.
I think I tend to forget about it, and. I tend to not utilize it.
Well, it got nerfed not too long ago. The HP regen, I think, got nerfed.
Yeah, I think it got knocked down from like 15 to 12 or something like that, but I still think it's really good.
I think it's good.
Do we recommend, do not recommend?
Situational.
Situational, I agree. Okay, Ben,
do we do recommends on items?
I don't know. Should we?
I don't think we should.
Okay.
That seems lame.
That's giving Cheeks a flap and too much power.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, ugh, ugh.
Bad idea.
That guy.
Okay, what else you got?
All right, let's move on to Noobs Ask Noobs, Ben.
Oh, we have questions.
We do.
Oh, my gosh.
We do, Ben. Wow. We've got questions.
Did you make these questions up so we look cool?
Yes, I did.
Okay, perfect. What did you make up?
I did not make up. That was a total fallacy. Friend of the show and new viewer slash listener, Bunny, posted kind of calling you out, Ben.
Calling me out?
Actually, not really. Bunny was actually very, very kind and gracious in the way that he or she wrote.
Was this a question or calling me out or both?
It was a clarification on orb walking.
Yeah, we didn't really claim to know what it was. We kind of knew what it was. So what is it? What is it entirely?
Okay, so I'm just going to read what Bunny wrote.
Are you sure Bunny's... Did you look into this? Is Bunny right? Is he legit?
I did not look into it.
So this could still be wrong information.
I'm going to assume this is right. It seems
so this is what Bunny says it is.
Yeah. Okay, Bunny says... I'm not dropping this in Noobs Ask Noobs because it's a little too advanced for that, I think. So this Bunny made like a separate thread.
Okay.
Like you guys mentioned on the show, orb walking is related to unique attack modifiers. Here is a little more clarification. Orb walking refers to the way that some heroes have an active ability that generates a modified version of their normal right-click attack when used. Think of Drow Ranger, Huskar, Viper... OD, Silencer, etc. There are a few distinct advantages to using these abilities in their active form, as noted on the show. First, they do not draw creep aggro when actively cast at an enemy hero. Second, the post-cast animation...
I didn't know that part. That's new.
Second, the post-cast animation can be canceled after the attack is generated. Animation canceling at large is an advanced topic for another time. I agree. So a typical orb walk scenario would be to click the ability, left-click the enemy hero, then right-click to move somewhere immediately after the attack is generated. This is the post-animation cancel bit and also stops your hero from auto-attacking the enemy hero, which would draw creep aggro. Repeat these steps as many times as necessary. This maximizes the number of attacks you would generate over time, maximizes the distance you can walk over time, sometimes used to quote-unquote walk to or away from the enemy as you orb walk, and does not count as right-clicking a hero for the purpose of dropping creep aggro. I hope this helps demystify it a bit.
That was a lot more information than I gave.
Yes.
So I wasn't wrong.
You weren't wrong. There's just some other stuff.
I just provided a fraction of the definition that
Correct.
You just provided.
Yeah. So the main benefits with it are not drawing creep aggro when you're laning or fighting near creeps or whatever.
And it sounds like... traveling, getting more distance.
Correct. It's kind of like if you've ever played StarCraft, stutter stepping your Marines.
Yeah.
You know, getting ready for that Baneling
this
rush.
This all sounds way too hard.
It is way too hard.
But thank you, because it's good advice.
Yes.
Bunny, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bunny, and I will implement that strategy when I hit 6K MMR. which will be
maybe
never.
Before then.
Maybe that's the road to 6K MMR.
That's probably part of it. Yeah.
Yes.
No, that's good advice.
Thanks, Bunny. Bunny has been very active on the subreddit, so thanks. Big shout out to Bunny.
We apparently have one.
Yep, we do. OC Panda writes, what heroes are out of the current meta that you would like to see have more play?
Ooh, nice. I'm really surprised that that Coddle's not in the game more.
I know. It seems strange.
I thought he got a pretty decent buff, and I thought he would be in it. And I thought he would kind of counter some of what we saw with the heavy push strategies. But I don't know. I don't think that Valve can really buff him more. I'm a little surprised. I think he got tried a lot at ESL.
Yeah.
And just people didn't have success with him for some reason. And
I think he's, as a hero, I think he's actually in a really good spot.
Right. I don't think they can buff him anymore.
I think, yeah, I just don't necessarily think that, you know, what's currently in vogue is these crazy push strategies, and people just don't use him for that.
But it seems like he'd be perfect to counter that.
Yeah, right? I don't.
I mean, that's what I don't get.
I'm not a Coddle player, so I don't really know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I'm not sure. As far as when I read this, I was trying to think, there's actually so many heroes that are in the meta right now.
I think it's in a pretty good place. I think you could say that the hero choices are in a great place.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like the complaints are more around the style choices. It seems like stylistically there's maybe not enough options right now on how you play the game.
Yeah, I would agree. I kind of wish, well, I don't know, because I feel like we're so skewed to saying, oh, pushing and aggression is like what's in vogue right now. And I think that's because we saw so many Eastern teams, Invictus and VG Gaming, get so far in TI4 with pushing strategies, and they're just so good at it. And so I don't know. I would be interested to see another tournament and see,
I guess the question is, does the current balance allow for a counter to that? And then if not, there's probably a problem and they need to do something about it, right?
I would argue that the current patch and balance is fine.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
I would argue
I guess
that.
Time will tell, yeah. Right?
I think it's just people have been having success with aggression and pushing, and so everyone's just going with it.
Part of that's intentional. Aggression and pushing is more entertaining to watch and more entertaining for the game than sitting around for 50 minutes waiting for somebody to get out of control.
Right.
So in some ways it's good. Maybe they overshot it a bit. I think that's maybe where we're at with that.
Yeah.
So.
But as far as in the pro scene and heroes that are quote-unquote out of the meta, there aren't too many of them, but one that I can really think of and is Bounty Hunter. And
yeah, he kind of...
Cloud9 picked him a couple times, and we did see PyLiDai go crazy with Bounty Hunter a couple of times. But outside of that, we don't really see too much of him. So I'd like to see more of Bounty Hunter.
Yeah, that's good. I wonder, is the question really, is it even realistic with this many heroes? And I saw an interview with was it Eric Johnson, who's part of Valve.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He actually said they will be, essentially told everybody what they already know, they will be making more heroes once they get those unreleased heroes in the game.
Yeah.
So there's going to be even more heroes in the game. So when you have this many heroes, is it just inevitable that you're going to have some people that are in and out? I mean, isn't that just going to happen? Not even out, you know, even outside of balance, just the nature of having so many people to pick from, some people are going to fall out, right? And they'll fall back in. And
yeah, I think that's just natural with popularity.
Yeah, I don't
stuff,
know if it's
you know?
Worrisome necessarily. I guess that's what I would say.
I think, yeah, Valve can just balance heroes as best they can. And I think they've actually done a really, really good job.
I don't think you look at the players that were not, the heroes that were not chosen and think, man, that hero's broken. I think for the most part, they're all in a decent spot. They just happen to not be chosen for this particular event. So,
and I am excited for new heroes to be released.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
What would you like to see? What's your ideal hero?
I would like to see a, like a steam, like somebody who drives around in like a what do you call like the Victorian steampunk? I'd like to see like some like gnome riding around in like a steampunk Cadillac that shoots like an Uzi.
Sounds awful.
Does like a drive by.
No, that sounds
his
really bad.
Q can be like his hydraulics in the car that make the car bounce. It bounces and eats other heroes. It can be an AoE.
So mental note, don't let Brian design heroes for Valve.
You can call him a Goblin Gangster.
No, we're
Gangster.
I'm sorry I even asked the question. It's over.
Let me ask you this, Ben. How many heroes, what kind of release schedule do you think we see on this? How often are they going to be releasing these?
I hope it doesn't get out of control.
I agree.
Played League of Legends for a while. I thought that got a little bit much, but I mean, ideally, no more than like one every 3 months or two every 3 months. You could you know, put a couple out at the same time.
But I think if you do,
I think that's enough.
I think that might even be too much.
Oh, I agree. I mean, think that's like that's my stretch. Like if I was going to really,
yeah,
ideally maybe. Yeah, one every 6 months, maybe. I think that's fine.
I think that's good, yeah. And
it's not like there's a lack of people to play with.
I mean, yeah, exactly. So yeah, I don't know. And it is nice to see new heroes, but I'm not getting bored with the current hero pool at all.
Well, if you were to pick, let's say you picked one hero. How many heroes are there? I mean, are we at 100 or 90 or something?
Yeah, we're
like
at
that?
Like 109, I think.
Right. So, I mean, if you picked one hero every day... Or if you tried to play every hero in a month, right?
Oh, that's a lot.
That's a lot of playing.
That's a lot of playing.
That's a
yeah.
lot of playing. You're looking at yeah. at least 50 hours.
Yeah.
Of playing, which I mean, for some people maybe that's not too much, but that's a lot. That's a lot. That's playing one hero every, you know, just once. So if you want to get good at any of those, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, I agree.
So great.
Okay. Also, a friend of the show, Huge Douche.
Wow, good name.
That's his name, not I'm not putting any flavoring in there.
Yeah, way to call him a douche.
He asks, if I have never assaulted before, but I'm interested in experimenting, does that make me assault curious? The answer is yes. It's a joke, Ben.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
Okay.
Wow. That did not...
I thought we were answering questions.
That did not land with you. Well, we are, and he asked a question.
What's the answer?
The answer is yes.
Yes. Okay.
It also makes you a bit of a creeper as well.
Why?
Because you're interested in assaulting. You're interested in assaulting and experimenting. All right. I'm just going to go ahead and move on.
Yeah, please move on.
I'm just going to move on. So note to self, Hugh's questions are not popular with Ben. Moving on. Actually, we're going to end on that.
Good note.
Good note. We're going to end on a good note. Yeah. Okay. I have a shout out to Last Talon for introducing me to the website Challonge. I think it's Challonge.com.
Is it a website challenge or there's a website named Challonge?
It's a website named Challonge.com. And
this website?
It's a way for us to track the bracket for the We Like Dota League.
How is Challonge spelled?
I think it's I got it right
if
here.
If you don't know,
Challonge.com.
Okay.
So it's a free way to manage tournaments and
oh cool.
That thing is gonna solve all of our problems.
Did we have some problems?
Well, I had no way to track the brackets. That was the issue.
Okay.
So this is gonna be
great. Can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Put Jared in charge of this or Field Studies.
Yeah, Field Studies is
in
charge of this.
Your understanding of sports and brackets are
It leaves a little bit to be desired. Yeah.
Put somebody else in charge of that, please.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So let's see here. Ben, do you have any shout outs?
I didn't know we did that. I've never done a shout out.
Now's your chance.
I don't
like
really
your mom, Mama Day.
I don't want to do that.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to wrap up the show. You can check us out at welikedota.com. And we're also We Like Dota on Twitter, Reddit, YouTube, and Twitch.
We're everywhere.
You guys. We're everywhere. You can follow me personally on Twitter at twitter.com/byinger, B-Y-I-N-G-E-R. And the show needs more followers. So follow We Like Dota on Twitter. I've been using that Twitter account a little bit more. And there's semi-interesting things there.
Are there?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah. Ben, where can we find you online?
I'm at Dota Yadneb on Twitter.
You have more followers than the show, does Ben.
It was close. I don't know. Do I have more?
I do believe, yeah.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm at.
Jared is not here this evening. He is being a good father, taking care of his baby.
He's such a good daddy, yeah.
And letting his wife sleep after not getting any sleep last night. So
good for him.
Jared will be back at some point. We're just not sure when. So
I would give it about 18 years.
18 years. 18. Isn't there a Kanye West song about that? 18 years.
I'm sure it's about something
18
different.
18 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's about parenthood.
I think it is, but in a bad light.
Okay. Anyways.
So shout out and blessings to Jared and his wife. And yeah, I think that's it, everybody.
And his baby.
Yeah.
And Gilmore, the dog.
Yeah, Gilmore. I love Gilmore.
Gilly's cool. I like Gilmore.
Gilmore the Corgi. And let's see, what else, Ben? Oh, on Friday, we're doing team practice night. So get together with your We Like Dota League teams and practice. Some teams have been scrimming against each other, but we've been doing a lot of five-man matchmaking. And
yes,
we feel that's the way to go.
Yes. Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Do whatever the crap you want, folks.
Friday is free night.
Friday is free night. Okay, thanks a lot for listening, everybody. And we'll see you next week. I need my soundboard. Hold on. Here we go.
This is awful.